This is Conversations with Canadian Art Song Project. We're your hosts, Lawrence Williford
and Stephen Philcox.
I'm Lawrence Williford, and this is Conversations with Canadian Art Song Project. Although we are recording a podcast that will be listened to across the continent, we acknowledge that our conversation is taking place on traditional territories of the Anishinaabe, Haudenosaunee, and Wendat nations. This is a spillover episode from my conversation with mezzo-soprano Marion Newman and composer Ian Cusson about Indigenous story and song in the Canadian art song repertoire. Whereas our previous episode focused largely on examining the scope of repertoire of the past 80 years or so, this episode revolves around their experiences as artists in an environment that is making space for their voices as people of Indigenous descent. This is a shorter episode, but one that is important. I hope you enjoy my continued conversation with Marion and Ian.
I have been really fortunate to be involved in the workshopping of many new works. So parts are written for me, and I am there to speak with non-Indigenous composers mm-hmm. about their approach. And I've had uncomfortable moments in the room where it's like, hold on, this is going back to that, you know, parallel fifths, chomping away kind of idea, and that needs to go.
Yeah.
Work against that, please.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing position to be able to be in to just help people understand. But if non-Indigenous composers weren't approaching these topics, then they wouldn't be learning.
Right.
And it is really important to me that everyone come on board with this. And we do need companies to give us opportunities for our voices to be heard, hiring writers to tell their stories. And whoever they're collaborating with as a composer, as long as that learning is taking place at this point, I think that it's important that that keep happening.
You know, one of the big conversations now happening is, you know, who can tell whose story and what stories, you know, and it's not clear always, even to me, you know, the thing that I am growing in an awareness of is the types of stories that we put on stages or that we capture in cycles of songs, you know, especially those that relate to trauma or that relate to deep pain and suffering. You know, why are we telling the stories those ways and being wise about that? Also, what stories I can be a part of telling and feel don't take a piece of me away, like Marion's saying, in terms of performing them, in terms of writing them and being a part of. One thing that has come up in a recent discussion that a group of Indigenous classical musicians, some composers, some performers, had in Banff a few months back was about the idea of creating space to allow maybe a better storyteller to tell that story. And what I mean by that is the opportunity to step aside if there is a better voice to represent that story.
Mm.
And this is something that I encounter in other types of projects and I'm trying to bring into my own practice. Sometimes there are better people to tell stories than myself. And that's a really humbling thing to admit. It's also a very scary thing when in this line of work, we're looking for, you know, making money and trying to pay our bills, and saying no to a project is a scary thing because will there be another project right after it,
or especially something high profile,
or that mean, you know, some stability for a few months. But the need to say and to acknowledge when something doesn't feel right, or if I'm taking the job of a more qualified person for that particular story to be mm-hmm. told, especially if it's culturally specific, I'm learning how to be able to step aside and create that space myself. And I think that's something that all Canadians can do.
In our time together, we have talked about the challenges regarding the existing song repertoire that has engaged with Indigenous culture. I thought it would be good to feature a more positive example. Marion, you talked about how much you enjoy performing Ian's music, and I thought that we would take this opportunity to play an excerpt of a performance of the two of you collaborating on Ian's settings of Marilyn Dumont poems. Ian, can you introduce this excerpt for our audience?
The poetry collection, if you don't know Marilyn Dumont's work, is A Really Good Brown Girl, published in 96. Incredible collection of poems, and I have spent time in them and want to spend a lot more time in those, even just as a reader. But the first song from the collection of five songs that are an orchestral song cycle and in this version in a piano quintet arrangement is a letter, a sort of Dear John letter to Sir John A. Macdonald. And it's from a contemporary stance looking back at John and what John did. And there's something about and you know, Métis people are noted for their irony and their sarcasm often. And it's a way of kind of pushing through really dark stuff, dark matter, dark subject matter, dark experience with a lens of humor. And I think that's actually one of the things that Indigenous artists have excelled at and continue to inspire many people with, is a sense of humor and resilience in the face of some terrible things that they've experienced. So
this is A Letter to Sir John A. Macdonald from Cousin's Five Songs on Poems by Marilyn Dumont. This recording comes from a live performance at the Richard Bradshaw Amphitheater as part of the COC's Free Noon Concert Series. Performing here are Amy Spoor, Sarah Wiebe, Emily Heimstra, and Alice Kim on strings, Ian Cousin at the piano, and Marion Newman, mezzo-soprano.
I love these songs, but I am not Métis. And so for me to perform Métis songs, when there are Métis mezzos out there that could be taking that space, is something that I had to think about. What I fell upon for each time that I've performed them is that we do share a lot. I understand these poems as an Indigenous woman. Marilyn Dumont is talking about me, too. I have had these experiences. The same kind of thoughts. It's amazing to come upon a poet who just so beautifully illustrates the feelings that I have not been able to put into words so eloquently. Yeah. And so at this point, I still feel like I should perform those pieces. And that we're in a place right now where people are actually listening to me. So it is my responsibility to share those truths as well. And it has been an honor to perform them each and every time. And I hope I get to do them again.
Yeah. That does also raise another important question, though. Can other people who do not have the kind of connection that you have to these texts, that have that personal connection to giving witness to those feelings of that the poet has, should they be performing them? So maybe somebody just loves singing Ian's music. Is this a set of songs that would be appropriate for somebody who doesn't have that connection but wants to give voice to Marilyn Dumont's words, to Ian's music?
I think there is so much to be learned from performing these songs, from learning them, from thinking about the content in the words and in the music itself. There's a lot of value there, a lot of learning that can take place. So from that standpoint, I would say everyone should be learning songs. But it would be an individual choice, I think, and an explanation of how they came to that choice might be a good idea at this point.
Yeah,
I agree. I could see this cycle in particular being, because it takes on off first person, they're very self-referential and often covering some quite a weighty experience, that a singer would want to do that with a sense of wisdom and feeling comfortable to sing them. It's funny, I've written songs to poems of Gwendolyn McEwen. I've written song cycle for Christina Szabo, songs of Joy Kogawa, a Japanese-Canadian mm-hmm. person, mm-hmm. and I'm not Japanese. And so some songs will probably more easily sit in more voices. This one could be tricky for a singer, and like Marion said, the great thing about Marilyn Dumont is that she references so many historic, real people: Anna Mae Aquash, Donald Marshall, Richard Cardinal, a whole bunch of people in this. And to sing them well, I think one has to at least Google them. Yeah, it's a good thing to learn who they were and what their contributions were and what they mean to the fabric of those songs. This question of what is Indigenous music, this often comes up, and often the expectation is that it's a particular sound or a particular subject matter. And so, for example, would the Joy Kogawa song cycle be an Indigenous song cycle? Yeah. And my answer to that would be yes, because it's at least one of its creators, or at least the musical creators, is that.
Yeah.
I think it's just still a kind of misnomer, just as like Indigenous people are one thing. I mean, it's something that maybe just needs repeating.
Yeah.
I have been asked to sing for things, and with where it has been assumed that I would be wearing regalia of some sort.
You're kidding
design.
Me.
I'm totally serious. That I would translate O Canada into my Indigenous language, perhaps. And it is my own personal, I guess, protest that I don't. I think ahead about, am I going to wear an Indigenous outfit? Am I going to present myself as openly Indigenous for this such and such? And I've had people say, where's your drum?
Right.
You know? And so that question of what is Indigenous music is one that is very, very alive right now. And it is a conversation that needs to be happening. And I believe that everything I perform is done from an Indigenous perspective, because I can't have anything but.
Right.
And so therefore it is Indigenous.
Yeah. I've been asked the same question. Where's the Indigenous sounding part in this? And you're like, you're not going to find maybe what you're expecting. So usually I turn the question back, trying to be respectful, and say, what are you hoping for? What are you looking for that? And not that I'll acquiesce to that, but rather, what are you thinking?
Calling him on the question.
Right. Yeah. And it's so common. Like, and people that are well-meaning and well-informed asking that question, we'd like to commission this work for this orchestra. So how do you approach, like, what's the indigenous sound? It's like, would you be thinking you need different instrumentation? And that's a reasonable question, and I appreciate it. But it's also, it comes with so many expectations and preconceptions of what my sound will be.
Yeah.
My sound sounds very, like, early 20th century French more than anything else, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your thoughts and your wisdom and your music.
This has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
We would like to thank the Canadian Opera Company's free concert series in the Richard Bradshaw Amphitheatre for giving Canadian Art Song Project permission to use the recording for this episode. And thank you to Dennis Patterson, our recording engineer for this episode. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, like, share, and write a review so we can be heard by more listeners in the future. Thank you.